he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
Because we are both college students still learning things like meals. And so I joked and I said, yeah, whenever we were cooking, whether or not it was good was a coin flip. And so it was just one of those things you learn over after 26 years. That was in the context of complimenting, after, of course, the meal that we had that day after 26 years of learning how to figure things out. But one of the things that helped us that was really popular about 26 years ago was... And a little bit further back was cooking shows. We started watching them a lot, watching all the different popular chefs with their different shows showing us how to do things. There are, of course, competitions of people who are trying to win restaurants or be seen as a big-name chef or whatever the case was. And so those have kind of stayed in our collective memory. But these days, there's still, of course, some competitions. There's other types of shows with those same chefs. And usually, it's about visiting and discovering the world, right? Go with me as we go and learn a new culture and a new people and what their food is like. And you can watch these shows and you can see them eat or prepare meals with local ingredients from all over the world. And it's just kind of like you're going on a vacation with the... with the chef as they do this. And of course, while they cook their food and they put the food in their mouth, they immediately go, oh, this is so good. Oh, this is wonderful. They talk about how wonderful it is. And I'm thinking to myself, didn't your mom ever teach you not to eat with your mouth full? But there they are showing the whole world that this is so good. And you can experience everything except the taste, of course, because it can't jump out of the TV for you. But we watch it saying, oh, I wonder, will I ever have the opportunity to see what they've seen, taste what they've seen, know that culture? And so I found myself thinking as we go into this summer and wondering, how is it going to be spent? Of course, we all may wonder, where are we traveling? What are we doing? What does vacation look like? Where are we going to summer? But here at Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene, as we go through the scriptures, we will be summering in Romans and learning indeed that what it is for our faith to be found in Jesus Christ and what he does for us. This book is perhaps the most clearly laid out description of what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God, what it means for God to love us, to forgive us, to welcome us into his family. And so we're going to start at the beginning of Romans. And before I read this, I do want to say that I know I have thrown those of you who attended last week or looked online for the bulletins and the readings. Every week, we put a little insert and an invitation to read Scripture throughout the week. And the promise is that what you read is going to get read in the next week's service. And so it's a kind of preparation for Sunday. But I threw you all a curveball because the scriptures I had you read last week, we did not read today. We were going to start later in Romans. And I thought, no, I want to start a little bit earlier. And so after praying and thinking about that, we've done that. So I apologize to those who have read, but you are ahead because we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. But like in going on a vacation, we're not going to read the entire book through these Sundays. We're going to stop at various places within the book, just as if you were going somewhere. There's no way you could possibly see anything. So while you're reading the scriptures this summer, feel free when you realize, oh, we've jumped ahead a little bit, to just, if you have the time, to visit the rest of Romans. But let's start with Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This section of Romans is more than just an introduction. It's more than just, hey, let me just give this opening salutation and tell you, you know, who's writing this. This is a theological beginning. This is him beginning to say how important it is what Christ has done for him and for the world. And so I will walk through this opening with you if we can. He begins by saying, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. This word servant, doulos in the Greek, is a word that can mean slave as well. But it is not just, he's not just using it the way we would expect perhaps from our history. I want to tell you a little bit about kind of Roman context, particularly for those who have built a name for themselves, who have attained some kind of a privilege or status in Rome. In Roman history, at this time, there was the way the household was structured. You had the head of the household, usually the man who ran his affairs and his business in the town. And underneath him, as the head of the household and the family, the next in charge were the children, those who would go on to take care of the business or would expand it throughout the city and help be involved in the various trades and what. And underneath them, perhaps anyone they hired. And below that, the servants, the doulos, the people who were basically slaves for them. However, in this culture, in this time, what could happen is, as they were expanding their influence or as their business grew and they realized, hey, we need someone over here to help manage the transfer of goods or to help sell here, a servant who showed themselves particularly keen with business and literate and all those kinds of things, they would extend out into the city and say, hey, go work, go do the work for the household. And they would pay a portion of what they earned to the household, and the rest they would keep to hopefully get their freedom later. And as I kind of imagined that history, I was like, oh, that was like antiquities franchises. And I was like the head of the household said, I'm going to send you out. You're going to work on your own, but you're going to pay back to the household. This was kind of the structure of the family is what is happening. So when he says that he is a servant, he is at first glance, of course, saying, I am utterly given over to Jesus Christ. But he's also explaining to them, I am a part of something so much bigger than who I am. I'm a part of the identity, the household, the whole process of underneath Jesus Christ. And so this sets Paul apart, not just as someone who's free, but someone who says, I am bound to this particular person. But when he says he's bound to Jesus the Christ, or the Messiah, he's saying, I am bound to someone who was crucified under Roman law as an insurrectionist, as someone who had the sign over his head, the King of the Jews, when everyone knew at the time it was Caesar who was king over all the land. And so when he says, I am set apart for this person, it's a bold statement. It's a statement made in the face of the way that the world works and saying, I know to whom I belong to, and I know who I'm working for. And so what he says about this, he says, I am set apart for the gospel of God. And I love that preposition, I think, Jen, for. I love that word for instead of set apart from. When we think of being set apart, we usually think of distinction. We make sure we create parameters that say, I am not that. I'm set apart from whatever I want to be set apart from, whether it's an action I do, or a people, or a group, or a understanding. No, that's not the way I am. This is who I am. But to be set apart for someone, though, is to be commissioned, not segregated, to be committed to. As in a marriage, which I'm going to be glad to be able to do at the end of this month. As in a marriage, when during the vows you say, forsaking all others, I give myself only unto you as a part of the vows. A way of saying I am set apart in love for the other person. And so when he says, I'm set apart for the gospel, he's saying to be a servant of Jesus Christ is to be sent on a mission, to have a purpose, to say this is what I am about. It is to recognize that wherever we might run into, say, a stranger, someone we don't know in our community or someone who is a stranger to our area, to recognize that that person is to be seen as neighbor. For we are set apart for one another in love for our neighbor as Christ has called. To be set apart for is not to look at the things that divide us, but the shared humanity among one another. And so he begins to talk about who this Jesus is. And he says that Jesus Christ was born of David according to the flesh, but was also declared the Son of God according to the Spirit. And he's going to use this kind of language a lot throughout this book. According to the flesh and according to the Spirit. For him, it's kind of like an illustration, if you will. When he talks about the flesh and the Spirit, he's not talking about the two natures of Jesus, you know, God and flesh all united in one. And he's also not trying to say, you know, oh, we have a body and there's a soul or a spirit that escapes at some point in time, perhaps after we die. He's not talking about how, you know, the flesh and spirit work together. He's talking about the ways of the world and the ways of God. And he uses that flesh-spirit distinction as an illustration of talking about the ways in which we tend to understand our world, the ways of the flesh, and the ways we tend to understand God. And so he says, you know, the ways in which you could very easily understand Jesus is, yeah, he's a descendant of David. There was a census taken. It's a part of the birth story that we heard. There's a whole history about who he comes from Mary and then tied to the lineage of even Joseph. And so we recognize that. But in the resurrection of Christ, the one who was crucified, he is declared the Son of God with all the power of the resurrection. And so this is a kind of back and forth Paul will use throughout the book to talk about two competing ways of life. The way we understand life most readily because of our culture and the way of God. I think we get that tug. I think we understand that. How many times have we been tempted to say when we see something happening in our world or see something happening in life that we just say, well, this is just the way the world works. This is just the way things happen. People act this way, or people cut corners, or people lie, or whatever the case is. And we sometimes find ourselves being tempted to justify the things that happen in our world because it's just the way the world works. And for Paul, that is all according to the flesh. But the way of God and the love asked and called for out of his people, as shown in Jesus Christ, is the way of the Spirit. And it is given power and it is given opportunity for us to live into that grace because Christ rose again from the dead and his Holy Spirit is at work in our life. And he says, so I am set apart for this. So that we might receive grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith to all the nations, to all the Gentiles for his sake. And I love this. He says, all of this gives us a message that what God has done in Jesus Christ has been shared with all the world. And we today are recipients of that because of God's grace that says the household is not just limited to the people it was initially for. It has been extended to all the world. Which is a way of saying, if he is calling us to obedience, that we are a beholden people. We are before God, before our Lord, before our Savior Jesus Christ, like Paul, as servants, as people who recognize our entire lives are given over to God, and trust that he indeed welcomes us, not just as servants, but as a part of the family of God. And Paul is going to make that move later on in the book, and it's going to be glorious when he talks about how we become sons and daughters of God. And it's all this recognition that as we've given ourselves over to Christ in service to him, that we become fully enwrapped in part of the household of God. To do so for his namesake, he says, not ours. That our faith ultimately is not just about what we get out of it. It's not just a to use a game term, a get-out-of-jail-free card. We're not just getting, or as I used to hear when I was a kid growing up, we're not just getting fire insurance. Our faith is about learning to live in the world the way God has called us to live according to the Spirit, to glorify God in everything we do, and to invite others to join in the glory of who God is. And what he says in verse 6, that this obedience of faith that is to be shared with the nations, he says in verse 6, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And I love that phrase, including you. So throughout this summer, we're going to look at the ways in which Paul talks about the faith and what God has done for us for forgiveness. But never forget that this is not just a general description of faith. This is not just a general description of what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. This is personal. It's for you. It's for us. It's to recognize that what God has done for the world, He has also done individually for each one of us. To say that you are so very, very important to God that He wants to call you His children and welcome you into His family. That what Christ has done has a personal element. It includes each and every one of us because God knows us deeply and intimately. To all those in Rome, then, he says, we are called to be saints, and he wishes us grace and peace. To all of us called to be saints. And so for this is not just sainthood is those select few who somehow figure out how to live in this world in a way that honors God. Sainthood, if we are all called to be saints, is not just those people who do a really good job and now therefore because they've modeled it so well for us, they can somehow advocate for us and they can somehow just be the pinnacle example for us. For Romans, when he says, to all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints. Those who are called to be saints is to all. And so one of the things I like about the Church of the Nazarene is our call to holiness. That is, in fact, kind of our anthem song, called unto holiness, right? It's this understanding that what God wants to do in our life doesn't just end once we say, okay, God, I believe that Jesus died for me and for my salvation. But it is an understanding that we are ever asking God's Holy Spirit to work and make us more obedient to Him and more filled with His love for the world He has created. That we would recognize that as we try to navigate this world and all the things and struggles that go with it, that we remember that the ways of this world or the things that are according to the flesh are not the limits of how we can live out our faith. But we can live according to the Spirit and live by the power of God's love for our neighbor and for one another, despite the things that happen in our world. We are all called to this kind of faithfulness. And God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will make it possible and help us ever in that endeavor. And so he says to them, grace and peace, shiros and shalom. The Greek word for grace is the common greeting that was spoken throughout Rome, throughout the Greek-speaking world, as a way of just saying hello, of saying greetings. It was the word grace. And for the Jews, it was the word peace or shalom. And he says those two together, unifying the church as a symbol of remembering that what God has done through Jesus Christ has indeed been sent to the Gentiles for the sake of His name. That greeting is the unifying of the Gentile and Jewish, both literarily and theologically. We become, as people receiving God's grace, also heirs of Abraham. We also become heirs of the promise of God's covenant found throughout Scripture in the Old Testament, that God will ever be our God and be with us. That the history of God's people throughout this book is indeed our history. It is not just the history of the Jewish people, although it is that, but it's also a microcosm of the entire human experience. This is our history. And I don't say this as a kind of wiping away, you know, that, but as a way of identifying and honoring their history and saying, oh yeah, that is human history, isn't it? The tendency that we have to do things on our own. The tendency that we have to turn away from God. The tendency we have to say, oh no, I can't trust God for this, as Ahaz did in our reading. I can't trust God to reveal himself. I don't know. I need to do things my way or according to the world. But God sometimes breaks in and surprises us. And we find that Jesus does indeed meet us where we are. And God works miracles in our life. And so this book of Romans is a book reminding us that what Christ accomplished on the cross is for us and for our salvation, to recognize that the love which God has extended to the world is to become a part of the ways in which we live and practice our life. And so I find myself thinking, as we begin this journey, this summer in Romans, that perhaps as we go through this book and hear these stories, that we will find indeed also us wondering, I wonder if this could be my life too. I wonder if this could be my experience. And trust that our God is breaking into our life, meeting us where we are, and saying, yes, my spirit, my salvation, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is for you. That we are not just observers looking at what someone else has accomplished or what someone else has done, but recognizing this grace, this salvation, this holiness has been poured out for us as well and available to us. And it is available as we open ourselves up to what the Lord wants to do in our life, the habit and practice of prayer, of worship. We just went over this in our last series. Attending to the means of grace found and putting ourselves in positions to experience what God wants to do in our life and to recognize that He is ever pointing us towards Jesus Christ. May we continue to see that His Spirit is with us, bringing us to holiness, inviting us into His grace and peace as the family of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us as we travel this story of faith, the articulation of how it is that you have met us where we are, how it is that you have declared that while we were yet sinners still, your Son would die for us, how it is that though we have often lived a life continually falling back into the ways of sin, that we can say thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ who gives us the victory. How it is that we can find that we are indeed surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that spur us on towards hope, faithfulness. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we travel through Romans to find ourselves given over to you. Help us to live faithfully to you. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. That we are indeed surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that spur us on towards hope, faithfulness. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we travel through Romans to find ourselves given over to you. Help us to live faithfully to you. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.